this thing. No title again.
And I did lonely be a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Superbikes and the Bagger Racing League here, the big motorcycle weekend, August 9th, 10th, 11th, and the weekend sprint featuring the NASCAR.
I'm in a new spot again, turn one, just coming out of the start-finish line. Very close. Usually this is closed off, but they're a little looser with the Varic races. These are the vintage cars. Mossport, of course, Canadian Tire Motorsport part. Another Corvette. I've just finished my tour of the paddock. Took a lot of photos. I think I'll splash them all over Facebook.
The driver out of St. Catharines, Ontario.
This is the Friday of the weekend. We've got Friday, Saturday, Sunday racing. Yesterday was qualifying. I should have come last night. That's a Corvette. Another Mustang. These are classic. These are the big boys. Honestly, I come here and I just get turned on. A couple of Porsches. I feel like a kid again, back in high school, because that's the era of these cars, right? Look at the cars. And the thing about this, these are hobbyists racing. And you walk up and you talk to them. They talk to you. They're just, everybody's friendly, happy to have you. Take pictures of their cars. And very proud of it. And they're often older people. I just said, I just finished open road racing because it's just too fast for me. The Corvette again. So I'm slowing down, 30 seconds slower per lap. It means they are still driving fast in these beautiful vintage old cars. They're very proud owners. Many categories, I can tell you about that later when I go through the books. This is still, it's about 11:30 in the morning on the Friday. I arrived at 9:30. I should have come last night. I was a bit stressed. Whoa, they're racing now. Oh, man, it's nice to see. It's just, it's the sound. And it's the thrill of seeing the cars. And you've just, between races, you're walking through the pits. That's the other thing that's so beautiful. And the drivers, they're, they got their trailer and they got a couple of deck chairs out. You talk to them.
In practice here in that modern classic one class.
Modern classic one.
The checkered flag, I would think, is going to be coming out here shortly.
There's been a lot of breakdowns. So they haven't had much practice. Number 19 Corvette. Oh, that sound. It's a beast.
Making use of that cushion.
So,
to
welcome, Dixon James. Episode 1000. Let's ring the bell for that. Lots of bell rings for 1,000. So if you've just tuned in only because this is number episode 1,000, well, fuck you. Welcome anyway. Don't expect anything special. It's just another Dixon James podcast. And I've already passed the 1,000 mark, I'm sure, long ago. All my part ones and part twos and part A's and part B's and so on. Yeah, they're slowing down now. Yeah, so I decided I held off a week so that I could do this from Mossport, because this is a very, very special place for me, special time. And especially the Varroc races, these vintage cars, these are the ones you want to see. I'll come to the other race weekend. I think the next one's a big Chevy, and then another one at the end of the season. And it's, considering the cost of everything these days, this is a very decent deal. You pay for your overnight parking. I didn't get the spot I usually get. The hill was just full, but I did get a very good spot. And from the front seat, you can look out and actually see the track and see cars going by. So that's not bad. And, of course, tonight I'll be meeting my Nova Scotia friends. More on that later. That's in the future. We're in the here and now. I feel ready for a beer. It's a bit early. But hey, why not toast episode 1000? I can make it special for me.
Trackside grill.
Just another episode. I got stories to tell, you know, long, boring stories that some of you will just lose interest in. And they're always meaningful for to me, like there's a point. But whether or not you, the listener, picks up on that, that's kind of your choice. So I'm going to pause here, and I'm going to get back to my road trek. The gas, the problem is I'm always parked on a hill, on a slant, and it's very hard to get the fridge running on gas. The propane stove works okay, but the fridge won't ignite on when it's on such an angle. So I've got my generator running, and I think I can run that as long as I want. I wouldn't do it all night, but I can just keep it running, and it keeps the fridge on AC and keeps the microwave working and plugs and everything else. So I'll probably be doing that for much of the weekend. This is when the people who have solar panels or special lithium batteries are always bragging. And I've not looked after my batteries at all, so I probably should have. Anyway, it's lunch break now. The racing has ceased for a while, so I'll be back. Stay tuned. This might be a long episode. No guarantees, but there are no promises. Bye for now. Ding, 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 ding. Check, check. All right. I'm sitting by Sal up on this hill on a slant, but I've got a clear view of the racetrack. The car is going by. This is, there's a lot of Minis, Triumphs. There's a Porsche. So this is vintage historic category. And again, they subdivide all these categories too, but anyway, a lot of neat old cars racing by. I'm not trackside, you know, keeping track of them with a stopwatch like some people. I'm just enjoying this, and right now sitting at my chair, a couple of cookies for dessert. I turned on the generator, which fires up the microwave, zapped the sausage I'd barbecued last night, and that was my lunch with some potato chips. So there you go, in case you were wondering. I want to tell you something. I want to tell you a story, and I think it's going to annoy a lot of you. Say, hey, dude, you're at the races. Why are we talking about the races? And I'm saying, well, as a reminder, this is the Dixon James podcast. We talk about me. We talk about what goes on in my head. Oh, there was a nice trio of triumphs. A trio of triumphs. That'd make a good title. But I have another title, and I think I might stick with it if I remember. Human Kindness. and I'm going to circle around to get to that. I mentioned earlier, or maybe in previous podcasts, we got a problem with ants in the house, you know, and each one you see, you feel my wife or I are obliged to catch. I think she just mainly steps on them, but I pick them up with a tissue paper or something and get them into the toilet, and then I watch the poor little suckers swimming and trying to survive and crawl out of the toilet, and I feel so bad that, oh my God, these life forms, they're doing anything to survive and continue to help out the ant pack. So it's never pleasant, but it's got to be done, and done quickly. You know, best is just to get them into the kitchen, get them down the drain, turn the water on, they're drowned, they're down the pipes, they don't have a hope in hell. Rather than let them suffer, fighting, you know, to their last whatever, I don't think they breathe, whatever it is they do to keep them alive. So, park the ants, it's just made me a little more aware of, and of course makes me think of, okay, an alien species coming down to Earth and playing with us just for fun and torturing us, and pulling our limbs off and eating us and so on. And you know, hopefully anything advanced enough to find us hopefully would have evolved past the point of cruelty. We haven't, but hopefully they would have. Moving on. Okay, remember, this is the Dixon James Podcast. I'm allowed to take my time and tell the story any fucking way I want to tell the story. We're going to get to the point of human kindness. Now, I'm walking yesterday through Thompson Park. I do the extended walk just to try and get my 5,000 steps in, knowing I wouldn't be walking so much once I get the Moss Board. And I'm allowed to eat while I'm telling the story, too, okay? So, just bear that in mind. You can hang up now if you want. Anyway, I'm walking through Thompson Park, and on the way back, I see a worm. And I don't know, like, there's a lot of bikes go down there. The trail is good because it's wide, and there's a line in the middle, and everybody knows which side to be on, depending on which direction you're going in, right? Just like you're driving down a highway, that's the side you're supposed to be on. But I have the feeling the thing's not really moving, and there's a lot of bikes and electric bikes and scooters and people zipping by. You got to be really careful and pay attention. Don't stray across that line because you could easily get hit. And these things, the ones with the battery power, they're silent. You don't hear them. They just zip up on you. So I'm thinking maybe this worm has been squashed in its middle and both ends are functioning, but maybe it can't move. And I feel bad for it. I just feel, oh, man. And I'm thinking, it can find a stick. You know, I don't want to pick it up with my hands, you know. And who knows, maybe you're going to leave some of it on the pavement. And find a stick, get it, slide it under somehow without hurting it, and toss it into the grass. And I don't see a stick, and I just keep on walking. But as I'm walking, I'm feeling bad. I'm feeling, that was shitty, man. You know, you could have just saved that fucking little worm. You know, it's going to, maybe it's, I don't know, I just had the feeling it was stuck there, injured. And it's just a worm, you know, but it's a life form. And it's bugging me, and it's really bugging me that I didn't go back and I kept going and trying to justify. And then I come across a snake. Lots of little snakes in that park, and the snake's doing fine. And I think, well, okay, the snake's a little maybe higher evolved than the worm, and it knows how to slither, and it's slithering its way. I mean, it's not going directly in a straight line. This thing is, you know, but it's, I know it's going to make its way across. I don't feel so bad. So I think there's some kind of a lesson there. I don't know, this higher evolved species, you know, it's going to be okay. I don't know. I don't know what the thing is, but it somehow has me less worried about the worm. And I, you figure that out. Maybe you got an answer. I don't. All right. So, same day, I'm off to do some grocery shopping to get some last-minute things for the for camping here, you know, today. And I figure if I get a chicken, a whole chicken, we have supper, and then we got usually there's a whole breast left over, and I could take that and make a wrap, and so oh good, okay, we'll do that. I'll get a chicken. Ah, there's no chickens. I'm too early in the day. It's only 2 o'clock. Chickens aren't out yet. So I pick up a couple of drinks. I pick up the wraps, and I figure I can just go back later on. You still with me? We're getting back to human kindness, okay? So I get that. I figure, all right, I'll talk to my wife. If she wants the chicken, I'll go back and get the chicken. But meanwhile, I pick up two drinks, you know, $1.25 discounted from $1.49, big deal. But for Cliff and Alice, they're going to be here. And then I think, you know, why don't you get one more? Because you need drinks on race day, you know, and it's cold. And everything here is so expensive when you buy from the stalls, you know. So I'll get an extra one. So I get three, and they're in the front seat because I don't have bags or anything. And I leave Freshco. There's a left turn lane on McCowan. It takes you up to... what is that street? Eglinton? No, whatever. The main street. And then you turn right on Bellamy and you're home. So, Ellesmere is the word I'm looking for. So, I'm in that lane, and I come to the stop sign, and there's a guy there, and I just missed the last chance to get through that light. So, I'm right there, and he's standing at this little post between the, you know, in the middle of the lanes or the rooms, it's a divided road. He's standing, leaning on the post. He reminds you a little of Alan Watts. He's got like a goatee, I guess, and white hair, wearing a hat. And he's wearing a sign, and it's a carefully made cutout wooden, well, cardboard, but, you know, well, not just paper, but a real sign. And I can't remember the words, but it was, the message was, looking for human kindness. Something like that. I'm pretty sure one of the words is human or loving kindness. Something like that. The message was clear. I'm not begging. I'm not asking for money. I just need some kindness from someone. And he's got a backpack. And when I see him, he's got one of these tiny little bags of chips. And he's just eating the crumbs. And just gobbling down the crumbs. And then he carefully takes the bag and scrunches it up, puts it in his backpack. So he's not littering. He seems quite civilized. Now, I look at him, my window's down. I'm right there waiting for the light to change. And I say, are you getting much? And he says, what? I said, are you finding much kindness? And his answer is, yeah, enough. Finding enough. And I realize he's just finished his salty bag of chips. On the passenger seat beside me, I got three tall cans, like, you know, more, half a liter of tea lemonade cans. Three of them. Because I'd bought an extra. And the thought, before the light changes, is hand him one of those cans. Give it to him. He's looking for kindness. He's just eating some chips. Give him one of those cans. And the default mechanism in me is you don't give to beggars. You know, and this is an exception, and I do make some exceptions, but you just, somebody standing there with a sign, it just generally bugs me outside a supermarket, whatever. Now, come on, there's other places where you can get food, man, you know, a place to stay. Don't beg. It's just not necessary. But that's what this guy's clearly doing. And he's doing it in kind of a special way. The light changes, and I take off. And as soon as I haven't gone 10 feet, I'm in the intersection making the left turn, I think, asshole, you fucking asshole. Why didn't you give him one of those cans? Hand it to him, you're right there, you're talking to the guy. He's not begging, he's not running up, he's not doing a squeegee on your windshield or threatening you. He looks like a perfectly nice, reasonable guy trying to get by. You fucking asshole, Ken. And it bugs me the rest of the way home. It really bugs me. Part of me, you know, I get on to Bellamy and part of me think, well, circle back, just circle back. And, you know, see if you can catch them again this time. But I know this is the worst time of day. You know, this traffic is crazy. It's hard. I get home, I settle on a new idea. Okay, if I go back for the chicken, I'm going to buy also another can of this lemonade, and I'll give it to him. So I go back, pick up the chicken, buy another can of lemonade, tea lemonade, you know, one of these special drinks. And I can't get into the turning lane. The traffic is full. This is about 5 o'clock now. It's full. Everybody's coming in off the 401. You can't get into the lane. I'm in the middle lane, which means straight down McGowan. I can't make the turn. I can't get to the guy. But I've got this drink here, especially for him, if he's still there. And yes, he's still there. He's still there. How the hell am I going to get in? I can't get to him. Well, what do I do? I've got to do this. I got to make this right. I've got to make this right. I fucking cut somebody off. I turn the signal. I fucking cut my way into that lane. Horns honking, you asshole. People beside me, because everybody's trying to make that short light. And I just come in and I signal to the guy. I got my hand out with it. The left hand is out holding this can. He sees me. He crouches down like he's going to tackle. And he just reaches out. The light's green. I don't stop. I don't slow down. He grabs it out of my hand. I make the turn. The horn behind me is still leaning on it. The driver's still pissed off about how close. I mean, they must have braked so that there was no accident. There could easily have been, but no. I gotta get this drink into this guy's hand. I shout out behind me, "Sorry, I missed you the first time." Yeah, intentionally. Anyway, that's the story. I gotta tell you, I laughed. I felt so fucking happy going home. The whole thing seemed so comical. And this is the kind of thing. Sorry if I'm shouting and not paying attention to the races. This is the kind of thing that happens to me all the time. There's been so much little bits of joy in my life, of just things that make me laugh, that make it seems right, it's good, it's like a game. I'm playing with the universe, and things are just tickety-boo falling into place quite nicely. And that ended well, that whole thing. So there you go. There's my story. Human kindness. And it was a reminder. You know, I had a chance. And I guess the lesson is, hey, you get another chance. You screw up the first time, you get another chance. You're always going to have opportunities to do the right thing, to be kind, to be generous, to think of others. And there you go. All right. I'm gonna end there. Sorry. This looks like the 1600 class. They're all the same. These are drivers trying to get into racing. So these are your basic cars. They're all the same, 1600cc. They're open wheel. They're basically, they look identical. They're ones you don't go around taking pictures of, like the old Triumphs and MGs and Volvos and things. But this is for up-and-coming drivers, so they do get some good races, because it's how a guy can make his name and work his way up to bigger machines. His or her way.
This is
all right, Scarborough Dude signing off
for this category.
Bye for now. MG's stay tuned. Triumph, this episode
Porsche, Volvo, there's a couple of MVPs racing each other. Triumph, TR4, Porsche, Austin Healey, a Lotus, MG Midget, looks a bit. Another Volvo. I was very comfortable. Oh, a couple of those things. It's great to see Volvo take racing. There's a couple of P1800s too. Oh, Mini. Ah, there it goes, a P1800. I was comfortable where I was, a bit of a breeze coming by, but I forced myself to come up the hill to corner 2, which used to be my regular spot.
It's still a great corner. It's a big wide curve. They're sort of coming downhill into it. And if you, if I was to move a little further down, I'd be able to see them going up the hill towards corner three. But I'm sitting in the shade now. And, yeah, back to the races. We'll just hear a few sounds, maybe. I see bug-eyed springs. I've taken pictures. I counted this morning in that little walk through the paddock area. I took 90 pictures, 90 already. I'll delete 2/3, I'm sure. But I wanted to be sure to get something good, representative, and I gotta put those up on the Facebook. The minis are so funny to see them racing because they're so small and they look not powerful at all. That PA-100 I've seen race here a few times. I'm familiar with these cars because I've been coming to the track for quite a while now, since 2018, I guess, maybe the first time I came back. Ooh, this guy's just barely crawling. It's a GT. He's not doing very well. Oh, it's a Datsun GT3. Oh, he's just come to a stop halfway up the hill. The marshals will have, yep, yellow flags out. It's a very, very good track, 2.5 miles around. You know, boy, there's safety trucks, ambulances, marshals on every corner. This is pro. And the write-up for this race in particular, like, it's a band tonight, I think, and a band Saturday night. Live music, a brewery, publican brewery, put it on events, you get free beer. I know, or I managed to get free beer anyway. And they just want to keep people entertained and have fun. So it's races all day for the 3 days. And now I realize, yeah, next year I'm coming on Thursday. I'm not going to wait till Friday. Biggest problem is because I'm not level. Whoa. I can't run my fridge on propane, and that's a real drag. My batteries just can't carry it. And you need a fridge. I got food that would spoil. So the neighbors won't appreciate it very much, but I've left the generator running, and it's a bit noisy. All right. And one more lap. MGB. Just cruising nicely. Oh, blue flag. Whoa. By category anyway, they're timed differently depending on, or they're timed, but they're measured and they win according to their category. Oh, shutting down. Bye for now. The Volvo P1800. Google it. Absolutely beautiful looking car. It's almost frightening to see them race. They're such classics. Well, here we go again. It's not quite 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I've just had a little nap. I don't know if I slept, but it sure felt good to get my shoes and brace off and lie down and wake up to these sounds. This would be Group 3. Classic and modern classic. So you're hearing Ford Mustangs. That's 94. So we're talking 30-year-old Ford Mustangs. Chevrolet Camaro, BMWs, Mazda RX-7, the rotary engine, Audi Quattro, Mazda Miata, little ones, 1990, wow. The Datsun 240s, Porsche 911, 944, and a real mix, Chev Corvette, 67, Ford Mustang, Triumph, newer one, TR8. There's been a lot of the earlier Triumphs here, TR4s, TR3s, Datsun 240, Porsche 944, and so on. So big and throaty. Oh, if you Porsche 951, that I don't know. 911, I know. 944s, I know, and that was big. Those are 85, 87. So what, 30 years there? Well, no. Or anyway, you do the math. I'll just shout out the number. 67 Ford Mustang. Wow. So that's what classic and modern classic, and they're nice. And the spot I'm at, I actually, there's an opening, and sitting here in my chair, I got a good view of them zipping by one by one. I mean, I'm at a distance, but I see each car. And that suits me. I just don't feel like, heading off to another spot yet. It's kind of a lazy day, and it's only Friday. I got 2 more days left, so you can afford to take it easy. Last time I just came on the Sunday, I had to make the most of it. Alrighty. Just thought I'd introduce you to some different sounds, and what are we going to have up next after that? Category. Open the page over. When this group finishes, Friday, 3 o'clock, we're going to have the Group 5. Who's in that? Do you want to know? Probably do. Formula Classic. Oh, that's a mix of these weird cars. Chinooks, Caldwell, Wheeler, cars you've never heard of. Mazda Formula. Citation, Mysterion. and these are smaller engines. Van Diemen. Yeah, I've seen these race before too. Not my biggest thrill. I like these cars that I'm familiar with. Alrighty. Scarborough Duke, just give you a little more taste as we fill up space on this Dixon James podcast, number 1000.
Challenge will follow, and then following that, of course, the John Greenwood reception and dinner and the Barack Awards here at the Event Center across
from pit roads, and then at 7 o'clock, the party in the lower paddock with Dramazoid. Looking to the end of the Andretti straightaway as the red Camaro pace car should come rolling under the Canadian Tire Bridge. And into turn number 8, as we've got a list of cars here on the...
This is the all Volvo race.
Scoring monitor, so
only 12 of them.
Does not appear to be correct. But we'll get this one sorted out. 20 minutes. All Volvo. Here's the red Camaro pace car. It'll accelerate out onto pit road.
Now, I can't record and take pictures at the same time, and I want to get a couple of pictures here.
And on to
especially the
P1800.
Here they come. Here they come.
To the line looking for the green flag.
Yep.
There it is.
Here they go. Only 12 cars.
Do this one old school. The best we can as the field takes off on this opening lap. And this one will be followed by that MG Triumph Challenge, in which case we're probably looking at somewhere in the vicinity of about 20 to 30 cars.
He doesn't sound too impressed with this one.
This all Volvo race. These cars coming from various Varac classes of vintage historic and some of the other classes here among the cars here in the lineup, including James Perry in that vintage historic 3, that 1962 Volvo P1800. I believe that car was featured in a few of the James Bond films. As we look to the end of that Andretti straightaway, looks right. Like we've got a tight little bunch battling for the lead.
Here we go.
As they come off the end of the Andretti straightaway in through turn 8, now through 9. And on the start-finish straightaway.
I'm turn 1.
Second place, the James Perry number 1 car. It was Goran Nyberg was that 66 car as the timing and scoring.
All right, we're going to end this race and I'll catch you on the MG Triumph race. Scarborough Dude signing out from Mossport.
Ian Locke in car number 168, and then rounding out your top 5, Dan DeBell in the 6th. Check the margin of victory, some 53
Of the Triumph MG race. These are the cool little cars that, you know, you all know what they look like. Well, not all of you, but some of you will appreciate this. They're just great to watch go by, and they're having a real race. I mean, they're really going at it. About 25 cars out there. That was four cars that went by. They're all sort of in sync, sounding the same almost. I am once again as close to the track as you can get. These guys are having fun, you know. It's not about winning the race, getting all the big money. It's just out there and racing with, you know, competing against each other. Friendly terms. They all know each other. Most of them do, anyway.
At the moment, as we wait for that lead pack of cars,
and the guys coming up the back, they don't care. They're just having fun.
Working lap number five. Here they are through the S's. Henry Fry, car number 29, off of turn 10. Still that number 246 car, Gord Ballantyne in second, Eric Levac third, in car 67, and then Philip Cooper 63.
Four cars bunched tight together, just going by. That was a bug-eyed Sprite. Just Triumphs and MGs. I always cheer on the yellow cars. They look great in the sunshine.
Challenge, there is your race leader.
It's the last race of the afternoon, so you will, hopefully you won't be hearing too much more. I'm going to head down to the party, see if I can score some free beer, Publican Brewers. My friends Cliff and Alice have just arrived at Pearson. They've got to pick up a rental car, and then I don't think he knows what's ahead for him. He's got to make this horrendous drive from Mississauga to Oshawa. Along the 401, it'll just be a nightmare in a rental car. Should have come earlier. Should have come yesterday. There you have it. That's enough of the Triumph MG race. Catch you later. Dramazoids, I think. They're good. Down here in the paddock. I gave Alice my Nexus, and I'm sitting in the Ferrari. That was her suggestion, too. I'm grateful. Alrighty. Signing off as we regroup. Okay, I think we're going. I'm in Sal. It's about 10:30 at night, Friday night. I'm lying down, got my pajamas on. Soon ready to tuck into the sleeping bag, but I'll have a leak before I do that. Cliff and Alice left less than an hour ago. We had a good evening. We had a very good evening. I'd like to tell you about it, if you don't mind. Good conversation at the end. As we sat in the chairs, I brought extra chairs for them. We sat there and we talked about politics in the States, in Nova Scotia and Ontario. And, you know, exchanged stories about, shared our thoughts about the future. And a lot of, you know, worry about, my goodness, we're on a... It is a very dangerous time. Like, it's the kind of Canada we certainly grew up with. We're very fortunate, and we know that. We are those privileged people. We're just damn lucky that the world just seemed... Well, yeah, I know. You're white, you're middle class, you got a good education, you got everything going your way. Yeah, that's true, and I'm grateful. But it's... I think tougher times are coming. More frightening times. Anyway, let's steer away from that, okay? Let's park that. Jesus. Anyway, that's what we ended up talking about at the end. God damn it. I'm trying to get comfortable now. Now I'm all rattled because of that. I had a nice story to tell, a really nice story. And I guess maybe we're just owning up to the fact that we're... You know, it started with... robots and social media bots, you know, and self-checkout at Shoppers Drug Mart, and just went from there in all directions. You know, I think I might have to tell you the good story tomorrow, or stop this and do it in a separate track, because I gotta bring an end to this. I got myself in a bit of a... Well, what are you saying, dude? What are you saying? I had a couple of tokes long ago, 3 hours ago. And, yeah, whatever it was that was in that, I'm still smoking the same joint. I'm still taking puffs off. It's pretty, not much left of it now. But by God, does it get me nicely high, like in a friendly, happy space. It's good, you know, this is good. So, what's the problem now? The problem now is I do have a story to tell, and I just don't feel like telling it now. So we're going to stop. I'll get back to you later. Remind me. Okay, here's the thing. Remind me to tell you the story... I'm just waiting. Some of you are getting your reminder caps. You didn't have them handy. The story of the beer. The story of the beer. Gosh, I almost gave away the whole thing. Yeah, that's more. A lot more to it. But I'm not in the mood. So sometimes on the Nixon James podcast, we just sort of... do whatever it is we fucking will feel like doing, and don't need anybody else telling me different. Talk to you later, bye. Not your fault. I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming me, that's all. Taking full responsibility. Bye for now. Check, check, check. Good morning. It's Saturday. And here I lie in the sleeping bag. My gosh, it's so cozy. So cozy. I had a decent sleep. It took forever to get to sleep.
And I tried a technique that has come from reading those books on Buddhist thought. And it's just to pay attention to your breathing. I do have a mantra, but I find this, paying attention to the breathing that we do in chair yoga is a pretty good system. You find yourself, you're lying there, and you find yourself, oh my God, you're completely involved in a story, like the voices in your head are telling you something, are thinking about something, are reviewing a conversation you had, reviewing a past event, thinking about what you have to do tomorrow. You know the deal, right? It's the past or the future you're dealing with, but not the now. And you go deep, and you ask, what's going on here? Who is this voice that's directing these things? You know, the one we assumed was me, and now I'm standing corrected. Believe me, boys and girls, this reading that I've been doing, this, up until now, especially the Eckhart Tolle, has really had an impact in the way I think. So, anyway, I want to go to sleep. I don't want to hear these voices. I don't want to have more of these conversations in my head. So what do? You just pull back, remind yourself, okay, now, the breathing. I'm a mouth breather, by the way. Nose is always blocked up. It just doesn't work for me. But that's what you do. You just, okay. And it's amazing because suddenly it feels like, almost like it's a different you or something else that's in control. When you're having those thoughts, you're not really controlled. You're sort of following them. You're like watching a movie. But here, with the breathing, it's you're saying, okay, come on, back now. Breathe, in. Out. And it calms you. And it puts you at this little bit of a distance. Anyway, that's something I try, and I recommend the technique. So, I recorded a clip, and didn't like it. Didn't like the topic, didn't like where I got to. So, just made a note to myself, don't include that clip. So, this is the fresh start. Oh. You know, I think I'm going to sit up for this. I think I'm going to wait till I've had a drink, had breakfast, and tell you the story when I'm sitting upright. I think I'm just can't draw up the energy I need to share this, what happened last night down in the paddock. I think I'm just going to... It's not even 8 o'clock yet. I think I'm just going to roll over and rest for a little more. Maybe focus on my breathing. Back at you soon. Bye-bye.